7:35, UC Davis head coach Jim Less will join us. They're going dancing in about 12 minutes, 7:17, give or take. We'll debut, sort of, a new segment we call Three for Madness. It's a new segment, but it's kind of not a new segment. It's four-down territory, but it's not football season. So it's three questions instead of four, and they cover things that aren't football, and we call it Three for Madness. Mm-hmm.
Isn't it crazy how we could technically do four-down territory the whole year? Football is a year-round thing, but have to take it off. We can't give Roger Goodell that kind of play, right?
Let's talk about Ty Lawson moments in moments. Ty Lawson moments is a totally different thing than Ty Lawson in moments. We'll talk about Michael McCann of Sports Illustrated saying, hey, his career is in jeopardy. We'll break that down. I want to piggyback on the last segment talking about everybody resting in San Antonio against the Warriors. Both San Antonio and Warrior players were resting en masse. And this is at the forefront now.
Technically, San Antonio didn't rest anybody.
Well, LaMarcus Aldridge,
has the
Kawhi Leonard's got the concussion. LaMarcus Aldridge, a very scary thing, a slight arrhythmia of the heart. He is
out. They did rest against us.
So. Yes.
Yeah.
It's almost an impossible thing because how do you police this? How do you stop it? The problem is this: you have tiered pricing in the NBA. Mm-hmm. You get charged more for the bigger games. If you go to see the Kings and Jazz, you're not going to pay as much as if you go see the Kings and Warriors or Kings and Cavaliers. And that goes that way across the NBA. So you have father and son, mother and daughter, father and daughter, whatever combo you want, that save up, let's say, and they're going to travel 2 hours. The one game of the year they can afford is the Warriors and Cavs. And they're going to the game and they're all set, and they got hotel and whatever, and then everybody rests. And now they're watching Patrick McCaw go 0-12. That's the basic problem. But how do you deal with it? So I had an idea over the weekend, and this isn't perfect. This is not like I'm not presenting this to you as a finished product. But a couple of things. If a player misses a game, a player has to miss three games. That'd be one way to do it.
Oh.
For whatever reason. If you whether it's a legit health thing or planned rest, because here's the problem.
That's how they would have to sell it, huh?
Yeah.
You better make sure you're healthy.
That doesn't seem fair to a certain degree, because if you sprain your ankle and you've got 3 days off between games, you miss one game, and then that 4 days you have to rest it.
That's the whole. Absolutely. If it's a legit, or what? How about even worse? You have gastroenteritis.
Yes.
And you miss one game, and then you have what if it's the game before the All-Star break?
Yeah.
Okay. Or you could adjust that and say if you miss one game, you have to miss three calendar days. I mean, you see what I'm saying? This isn't.
What if you just say if rest? Because they can't lie in the injury reports because they'll get dinged by the NBA.
They can't, but they do. And so what you're going to do is you're going to say, well, no more planned rest. That's the obvious thing. No more planned rest. Okay.
Then they could suit him up and not play them.
Steph Curry has a infected toenail. He's out for the game. They'll come up with something. So there's that. Number two, each team has to designate three franchise players, just like in football, let's say. It has to be designated at the beginning of the year. Who are your franchise players? And that'll adjust with a trade or whatever. Anytime a franchise player misses a game on the road, they have to pay a fine. Unless they're on the injured list. And then you bring in injured lists where you do it more like baseball. And I know I'm getting confusing here.
Well, then it doesn't matter, because if you have a fine that's paid, the team's going to pay it.
Yeah.
And it doesn't hurt the players at all.
That's true, but it hurts the team. And if you make that fine, I don't know, say $50,000 a player per game, you make it something serious, unless the player is put on the NBA's version of the disabled list where they're going to miss serious time.
I mean, how do you decide who that guy is? Is it
the franchise player?
Yeah.
The NBA, the NBA will designate it. It can't be the teams. Because if it's the teams, Kings franchise players are going to be, Yorgos Papayannis or something.
Well, yeah, I mean, because I think of, the first thought would be do it by salary, but then what do you do if you're in a, you got a Kenny Thomas contract?
Exactly. Now, another, and again, these are all just, they're not finished, but these are things I think you could work with. Like, here's another thing. If a player misses a game due to rest, that player must make the trip. Because I'm talking about road games. If you want to screw your own fans, screw your own fans. That's your own market. You got to deal with that crap. I'm talking about on the road. If a player misses a game, that player has to do a mandatory one-hour autograph session before the game.
That I can, yeah.
I think there's a lot of things to work with here where in the offseason they can look at it and come up with some sort of disincentive for players to not rest en masse. And now you've got fans. And the problem is... And you could say, here, let me just finish this, because a lot of people said, yes, I was floating some of this stuff out that, well, you could just stop tiered pricing. Well, number one, they're never going to stop tiered pricing. Mm-hmm. But number two, even if you stop tiered pricing, the problem is that there's no recourse on the secondary market. Right. You buy your tickets from StubHub at an accelerated rate, you're not getting that money back.
The thing with fines, though, and I'm trying to like work through this in my head, I don't think that would ever work just because the players' union would get involved
sure.
if they're fining players, because it's not the players that are deciding to rest. So you'd have to find the organization,
yes,
not
you would.
Players.
You have to find, that's exactly right. You find the organization. Or you have an X amount of games that you can rest players per year, and you must rest. Planned rest is only allowed at home. You can't rest on the road. You can't. There's got to be something with home and away games in there. And then
I mean, I don't know. It's not fair either way. Like it.
But screw your home fans before you screw road fans. If you're
I don't agree with that.
If you're Cleveland and you're going to Sacramento once a year, that's the one chance these fans have to see LeBron James.
See, I get that.
You get 41.
But what if it's the one time a year you get to see him at home? I mean, like not everyone that goes to.
True, but you have 41 games to access the guy at home. And yes, there's going to be a minor level of screwing there. You're 100% right. But you're screwing. You think there's already a disincentive to pissing off your home fans. Cleveland doesn't care if they piss off Sacramento fans. Why does Dan Gilbert care about? He doesn't care about Sacramento fans. There's no interest in that whatsoever. So that belies the problem. And it's a further point, which is like, why are these players resting anyways? You know, somebody was, I think it was Grant was getting into it with somebody. He was like, well, not, easy to see people that sit in radio studios or TV studios having an issue, you know, when there's no off season. It's like, well, no, there's actually an off season. They play 82 games a year, and granted, it's a grueling schedule. But let's be clear here. You're traveling on charters. You're staying in five-star hotels.
Aren't you expected to show up to work if you're healthy?
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean,
because they're never going to call us and say, you know what? We're not going to have you guys on air today. We're just going to rest you.
I mean, hey, listen, let's not discount that idea.
Yeah. Now, I hate trying to make like real world comparisons to sports because it so often doesn't work.
Right.
But I mean, it's that I think it's, you know, so often you see fans bring that up where they're like, well, I wouldn't be able to get away with that. So, like, why are you standing for them in this situation?
I don't know why either.
I don't know. You get paid a whole bunch of money, dude. If you're healthy, you should be out there. That's a pretty basic expectation.
It's funny I'm saying that based on your take, Nate, and what you just said, and I agree with you 100%. I personally blame the millennials. It's a millennial thing. Like, for
example, there's also like science, you know, that backs up resting these guys. But
from the 209, teams need to do what's best for their longevity that season. Fans are irrelevant. Well, okay.
I think fans want people to win.
Fans.
So if it helps your team win, but at the same time, it goes back to the fan that bought that one ticket because that's all they could afford because they wanted to see whichever player it is, it's their favorite play. And then, but it's like, okay, if they were hurt and couldn't play, then it's like, well, sorry, that's the game.
Fans literally pay for every penny of salary, whether it's through TV contracts and fans and sponsorships or tickets. Fans are, without fans, we're not watching any of this. So fans are not irrelevant. The problem is, and I've said this my whole career, it'll never happen. We don't have a fan union. We had a fan union. We wouldn't have these issues because the fan union, you go to the table and say, well, guess what? We're just going to start boycotting these games. We're just not going to buy anything. Period. Screw you. We'll take a break. When we return, the debut of Three for Madness, three questions for you to ponder throughout the day.
It's 7:14, time for RC Country Hobbies. More than toys for big boys, it's for everyone in the family. 6011 Folsom Boulevard, Sacramento.
Jim Less at 7:35, Three for Madness in 4 minutes on the drive. Sports 1140 KHDK. Hi. Hi, Matt.
Hello.
Welcome in.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
Hey, somebody on the text line is already starting to be a ding-dong here from the 209. It's not always want to start the segment. It's a free knockoff of three the hard way from the lowdown. Listen, God bless those guys, and I love them. That's a fantastic segment. I was doing Three for Madness on my show 10 years ago, so middle fingers right in your face.
Yeah, I mean, what's the old
get
bit
out of here.
That, you know, very popular radio DJ once said, if you steal from me, you're stealing twice.
And they've never heard it yet, so they don't know how we're doing this.
Exactly.
So go for it, Matt.
Not implying Lowdown stealing from us either. I'm just saying
it's
radio.
There's only so many bits.
Stupid.
Carmichael Dave is a thief.
Yeah.
Question number one, is March Madness the most fun sports time of the year?
Yes, to me it is. It is the best 2 weeks in sports. College basketball, I said this yesterday on the old Twitter, it's not even in my top five, probably not even my top eight favorite sports to watch. But March Madness involves awesome. It involves gambling. It involves pride. And Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday of this week, I will be in my garage. The reason I have four TVs in my garage, the only reason I have four TVs in my garage, is for March Madness once a freaking year. Mm. Yes, I will be watching four games. It's for guys with ADD and overload and girls with ADD. It to me, I'm very excited about this.
I'll concede that it's great because I like the fact that you can never predict it. And there's so many times that the little guy can upset the big guy. And who doesn't like that in sports, right? That's what we cheer for. But for me, I don't care. I mean, it's fun to watch to a certain degree. I'm not going to watch every single game. Like, both of you are going to disagree with me. I like the NBA Finals more than that, or the NBA playoffs more than this. I really do.
Well, it'd be nice if the NBA playoffs had a dozen games going on at once.
See, that for me, I got better crap to do with my time.
No, you don't.
Yes,
no,
don't. I do.
What do you have to do?
Yes, I
you
do.
I'd rather
be outside weeding my flower beds.
But you don't get paid to weed your flower beds.
Good point right there.
This is the first year I've done this radio show.
You got better things to do than my job.
Okay, that
Katie.
Is not fair, Nate. That is not fair. This is the first time that I've been working covering. And I used to like actually call games for the NCAA tournament for ESPN.
Well, okay.
Then I paid attention to it. Come on.
Hey,
pull your head out.
Do you think the bracket would work?
Do your job, Gainey.
Why don't they do brackets for the NBA playoffs? Just for fun. Like, why isn't that caught on?
I don't know.
How would you do it with a seven-game thing, like each game, by game?
Yeah, well, it's just the same setup. And here's another thing. How come this is, I always say I can't get into women's basketball. I've tried. I can't.
Because they have vaginas?
No, just because,
whoa.
Wow. Jeez. Okay.
Well, I thought you were taking there, Dave.
But I'm just saying, why don't they do brackets?
Chauvinist.
Why don't they do brackets for women's basketball? I mean, why isn't that a bigger thing? Like, I'd get into that if there was money involved. I'd figure it out.
What?
For the women's tournament. Why don't they do the same brackets for the women's tournament?
They do brackets.
But, I mean, why? I know. Tournament. No, I'm not. I'm talking about, like, what we do.
Okay.
Like, filling them out.
Some people do, Dave, just not you, because you don't
really
care about women.
Is there a thing?
Yes.
Like, people do pools on?
Yes.
Not me, man.
Nate, have you heard of one?
I don't know.
All right. Number two. I don't think they do.
Everything's breaking down over here.
Yeah, well.
Dave steals radio segments and hates women, apparently.
Yes,
well, that's
sir.
Nothing new.
Well, guys, do you care about spring training baseball?
Oh, my God. I'm going to go 0-for-2 in this segment and get murdered by my freaking on-air friends here, which aren't going to be my friends. I don't care about spring training. I don't. I covered that, too, Nate.
Yeah, I said it.
I covered that, too, Nate.
Okay.
I don't care about it. I mean, it's cool. Like, you can go to Arizona. Like, I've been down there. Like, you go,
step, go to
Talking
Arizona.
Stick Resort.
You're
go
not
to,
going to
Peoria.
Arizona.
You go to all these different places and watch these games. It doesn't matter to me.
Hmm.
Because all it is a buildup for 162 games, which don't matter to me either.
Hmm. All right. I just don't know how to compete with the takes. That's all.
Well, do you care about spring?
Have your
really
own take.
That, I mean, it's not really that important to me, but... You know, it is baseball. I'm more interested in the World Baseball Classic. But, especially, it's not like there's any hope or expectation, surrounding the Giants. I mean, it's just, you expect them to be good. So anything that happens between now and September is just kind of icing
on
the cake.
It's an odd year.
I always expect them to be good.
Katie. Oh, Katie Christensen. Do you care about spring training? Well, I got to say... I completely agree with you. I couldn't care less about spring training. I really don't. I mean, I don't. It is. Listen, and I know I shouldn't be saying this 2 weeks from us going down to cover it. It's neat because, you know, baseball is around the corner, and I enjoy baseball.
Well, covering it, you get to sit there and talk to a lot of guys.
What do I care about some dumbass split squad game in Hoboken, Arizona?
Hoboken.
If some guy's coming off an injury, I care. If there's a hot rookie tearing it up, I care. But am I sitting there going, oh, the Split Sox Rockies are taking on the University of Arizona, you know, Wildcats? No. The season's long enough in baseball anyways, 162 games. I'm not going to care.
Oh, my gosh, we agree on something.
I'm not going to care about a freaking grapefruit league. But, hey, that's just me. And you, apparently, Katie. Well.
Mm. Oh. All right, here we go.
No.
All righty. Is the NBA title more wide open than we thought?
It sure is, guys. Listen, after last year, and I know that, again, the Warriors were without Draymond Green for the finals, but never again am I going to say that the NBA finals is an open and shut case. And this year, I mean, it really is kind of wide open. I don't know if the Spurs are a serious threat to the Warriors, but you have to ask the question. I don't know that Kevin Durant's ever going to be healthy during the playoffs. I mean, we saw the same thing happen with Steph last year. You initially thought it was really bad when he hurt his knee, and then it was like, oh, well, actually, we'll take a look at him. He'll be fine. He was not healthy during the playoffs last year, not once.
No.
The Cavs have a good shot at it, and you got to love the way that Washington and Boston are playing. Yeah, man, there are like five teams
right now for me. Line three. Oh, hey, James Harden, how you doing? See? Wow, hey. Oh, you beat the Cavs yesterday, too. Okay. All right. Shave. Bye.
Shave.
Bye.
This is a trap question because are we being suckered right now? Are we being suckered because we want it to be wide open? We're like, oh, my God, look at all these teams. The Warriors are in trouble. And then it's going to turn out that it's the Cavs and Warriors again. And
it could very well be the Cavs and the Warriors again, Dave. But the way that the regular season has played out, it's nothing like anyone expected. I actually do think that the Spurs, depending on what happens with LaMarcus Aldridge, because I think that he is key. I don't know long term what that is going on with his heart condition. But even like, I'm not as concerned about Houston because I don't know that they're going to be able to sustain that through the playoffs. But San Antonio is always going to be a threat. But when you look in the East, there's three teams that come up to me. I think Boston is dangerous, absolutely dangerous. Isaiah Thomas is playing a superb level. But also Washington right now. Washington is playing extremely well, and Cleveland is not. And they have not been playing well.
Everything
but then
you go
into a seven-game series, and that's when stuff gets interesting.
Everything you say is 100% correct. I learned my lesson from the Los Angeles Lakers in the 2000s, where every year it was like, uh-oh, Shaq and Kobe, they've lost three in a row. What is it? And then you just realize championship teams know how to let off the gas and then put their foot on the gas when they need to, and you get traps. I don't know. I agree with every single thing you said, Katie. Can I not be a huge fan of women's basketball without being a chauvinist? Is that possible?
Got a break, Dave.
That stung. I'm a champion of the women. I'm the females champion. We'll take a break. Jim Less, head coach of the UC Davis Aggies. Got to get their dancing shoes on. We'll talk to him next on The Drive, Sports 1140 KHDK. Wednesday, Dayton, Ohio on True TV. If you're wondering what True TV is, and you only wonder this once a year, on DirecTV, it's channel 246. It's between TBS and TNT. Because you watch the prank show?
The Forensic Files.
Oh, well, there's that.
So the prank show.
UC Davis will be taking on the hated, whatever the heck they are, of NC Central.
Yes.
UC Davis is a dog by 3 points, but we don't care because they're a Cinderella in waiting. Joining us right now, not just the head coach of UC Davis, but let's remember, all right, for you kids out there, former Sacramento Kings sharpshooter.
Yes, sir.
Jim Less. Jim, it's Dave, Katie, and Nate. Congratulations. How you doing?
I couldn't be doing any better. We're excited, and And I just found out we're an underdog, and we love that role. So that fits just well with us.
You're dang right. Yeah, you're an it's a plus three. You're an underdog, but this is UC Davis's first trip. And I'll tell you what, everybody's talking about you guys going to the dance, which is phenomenal. Everybody's talking about the position you're in. What I thought was awesome was, yeah, you slipped by UC Irvine on the buzzer beater in the semis. You lost to them by 30 the week before. So that speaks to me right there. That's good coaching and breaking down a rival right there. How do you switch that a week later?
Well, it's funny. I was teasing the players after the Irvine game that they should have let me in on their strategy, which was to make them overconfident, lose by 30 the week before so we could catch them a little off guard and get after them on the championship game, which turned out to be the more important game because that gets you your bid. So they didn't let me in on it. It would have saved me a couple sleepless nights during the course of the week. But in March, sleep is overrated anyway.
Jim, you guys have a short turnaround before you have to hit the court again. How do you approach the next day?
Well, it goes so fast. I mean, as soon as we landed yesterday, it was a watch party, try and get ready for the next game, and then all the travel plans that come into us getting to Dayton. Mm-hmm. In fact, we're heading to the airport right now and taking off this morning. So it goes quick. We want the guys to enjoy it. For many of them, it's a lifelong dream. They've grown up playing basketball. They've grown up watching the tournament. They've grown up watching teams on Selection Sunday hear their name called and see that exuberance and being able to share that with their teammates. So I love that. I love watching that, and that's all great and part of it. And now as we land in Dayton tonight, we'll kind of shift our focus to preparation and what we're going to need to do to win on Wednesday night. So it's our job as a staff is to, hey, we want the kids to enjoy it. This is a special, special experience. But we also got to remember we've got work to do on Wednesday, and we want to continue this. We just don't want to be in the tournament for one game.
That's the voice of Jim Lass, not only a former King, but the head basketball coach at UC Davis as they're headed to the NCAA basketball tournament. Now, Coach, you guys did what you needed to do. You won your conference tournament. You're in the big dance, and I'm sure you're thrilled about that. But sitting here as a spectator, though, there's a part of me that's going, well, gosh, man, you fulfilled your part of the deal, but you've still got to go into this first four kind of play-in game kind of scenario. That's a little disappointing as a spectator. But you had mentioned you guys like being in the underdog position. Is there a part of this group that relishes the idea of, yeah, we got to go get one more to really do this?
Well, I think our guys all year long, when you look at our team, one, they have really good character and integrity. So they don't play for themselves. They play for each other and they have a really good bond. Secondly, they bought in, you know, to the less glamorous side of basketball, which is the defensive side, the hustle plays, to get on the floor, take charges. And our game against UC Irvine, who's a really good offensive team, we hold them to 16 points in the first half, which really set the tone for the game. Late in the game, we took two big charges. JT Adenile from Oakmont Roseville takes two big charges. That's kind of who they are. So, you know, we're not getting caught up with anything other. We got to filter out what's going on outside of us and stay true to who we are. And we're just kind of a blue-collar, get-after-it, work-hard, play-together basketball team. It's not necessarily sexy, but it works.
Head coach of UC Davis, Jim Lass, joining us on KHDK. Now, Coach, I know your sights are set on winning every game. You were that way as a player. I'm sure you're that way as a coach. You get into the tournament. You win your next game. You're going against number one Kansas. And I'm just going to guess you're going to be an underdog in that game, too, probably. So whether you guys win the entire thing this year or you're out in the first round, whatever it may be, how important is it to you as a coach for the future of this growing basketball program when you can go into kids' living rooms this summer and say, hey, we're coming off a tournament year and we plan on building on that? How much is that going to help you recruiting-wise?
Well, it's huge. You know, 2 years ago, I thought that group that we had that won the Big West regular season title really set the foundation. And a lot of the guys that are key players for us now, our star players, were on that team in more of a secondary role. So we've kind of seen the evolution of the foundation being established, and now this group taking it to another level. And it's certainly, with our presence nationally, our ability to go out and recruit, we don't have to explain anymore who UC Davis is and where we're at. It's more what we have to offer, which is an elite education, one of the top 10 public schools in the country, as well as now a championship basketball experience. And that combination is pretty special for young student athletes.
Jim, you obviously played in the NBA, and for a lot of people, basketball fans overall, March Madness, there's nothing that compares to it. Where does it rank for you in all of the sports in terms of March Madness and kind of just how special it is for a lot of sports fans?
Well, it's huge. It's arguably the biggest sporting event in the world. And, you know, Katie, you grew up playing basketball, so you were always a fan watching the tournament. But what makes the tournament so unique is you've got non-basketball fans for 1 month out of the year that convert to being basketball lovers. And, you know, the tournament and the upsets, and there's so many great games, energy and enthusiasm it creates is really, really unique. So to be a part of it, and, you know, like I said before, we've got most of our guys on our team, this has been their lifelong dream. And to sit back and watch them experience this and go through it is really, really exciting for us as a staff, and it makes mentoring and all the effort that goes into it well worth it.
Coach, you guys have had nationally televised games before, but nothing quite like this stage, you know, the NCAA tournament, and these guys, you know, in some cases, this might be the one chance to shine and the one chance for some people nationally to see your team. What do you want the nation to go away thinking about Jim Les's UC Davis basketball team?
Well, I think our takeaway always, and this starts, you know, you can't change who you are based on the stage you're playing on. We told the guys way back in October when we were doing defensive drills with weighted vests on that, hey, this is about the process, and this is about in pressure situations you become your habits. So we just try to establish really good habits every day, practicing hard, the integrity of getting after it, attention to detail on the defensive end. And then when you step into that spotlight, if you do that and that's who you are every day, whatever stage you walk on, that's who you're going to be. So our guys have stayed true to that. They've had big games. They've been on TV. This is absolutely a big step, and there's a lot of notoriety that surrounds it. But once the ball gets tipped and you get between the lines, I expect them to be true to who they've been every day, and that kind of makes it easier to deal with this process.
Jim Les joining us. And Jim, I'm fascinated by what this means for the long-term prognosis of the UC Davis men's basketball team. You've lived in Sacramento or in the Sacramento area long enough to know that this could be a phenomenal college town if they had, you know, universities that were nationally relevant. And you look at the top 25 right now, whether it's an Iowa State or a St. Mary's or a Cincinnati, you look at the endowments, and that's what I learned to look at with colleges to see how relevant they could be. And the UC Davis endowment is decent enough to where it compares favorably with a lot of these smaller schools. What needs to happen in addition to what you're doing this year to make UC Davis more of a perennial powerhouse nationally?
Well, first of all, Sacramento is a great region for basketball in general. Great basketball fans. I experienced it as a player. They're very knowledgeable. They're passionate. And I think when we first got here 6 years ago, it was we wanted to make UC Davis kind of the college version of those passionate basketball fans and get them to come out and appreciate our players, appreciate how we play, and get into the college basketball environment. Now, I also know you got to win to be able to do that. So we've continued, and every year it's ramped up a little bit, And we don't look at this year as an anomaly or this may not ever happen again. We want to have a consistency of excellence, and we feel if we can do that, The pavilion is going to continue to rock. We're going to get all these passionate fans to come to Davis and watch college basketball and get into it. And that, I think that's great for the community. It doesn't take anything away from the Kings. It enhances what the region already has.
Coach Jim Les with us. Last thing for you, Coach. It's kind of a cheese ball question to end the interview, but when you're talking with your players, how much of your life and your life experience goes into your communications with these guys? And I bring that up because we're talking about UC Davis being a Cinderella story. You were a Cinderella story. You know this. You went all over everywhere playing basketball any way you could, and then lo and behold, you roll in with the Kings. You're in the three-point shootout. You play 200 games for them in 4 years. You always busted your ass on a nightly basis and didn't care about what school you went to or where you were drafted. You found a way to make it work. How much of that life experience do you use to explain to these guys, who cares if you're UC Davis? You're in the dance and anything can happen.
Well, Dave, I wasn't smart enough to realize that a short white guy who's not very athletic shouldn't really play in the NBA. So it starts there with some form of ignorance, which couldn't be good at times.
Yes.
But I actually, with my players, one of the strengths I do have as a coach is there isn't anything that they're going to experience that I haven't already experienced, and that helps me navigate all these issues. You know, I've been the last guy on the bench. I've been a starter. I've been the leading scorer. I've been the guy that scored the least. I've had injuries. I've had instances where I thought, you know what, I'm never going to miss. Then I've had instances where I thought, man, I'm never going to make one. So I think going through those as a player allows me now as a coach to help these guys navigate all the things that they go through. And having played in the tournament, having played in a lot of big games and been a part, it helps me confine their mindset and stay true to, you know, like the other night, big game, playing for the ticket. We just talked about making the hustle plays for 40 minutes, doing the extra effort, take a charge, get a rebound. Don't worry about making the next shot. Just worry about defending hard. And it's amazing when you do those things to start a game, which is how we started. Everything else comes easy. If you come out thinking, oh, I got to make my first shot, I've got to make my first shot, and it doesn't go in, now all of a sudden pressure mounts, and it breaks your rhythm a little bit. So I think some of my experience helps them navigate what they're going through, but I also have really good kids and really smart kids. They were able to get into UC Davis, where I probably wasn't able to. So in their own right, they're pretty prepared.
Jim Les joining us this morning, talking about going to the NCAA tournament. Now, I've got one last question for you.
I know, but
we couldn't let this one go, right, Jim. There are two former Sacramento Kings coaching as the head coach in the Big West Conference. The other, of course, being Reggie Theus. Wow. I'm just curious. Let's be honest here. Let's just don't say the politically correct thing here. How good does it feel to be able to knock off Reggie Theus in this and be able to take your team to March Madness?
Well, it feels awfully good. And Reggie and I have a good enough relationship where I can talk a little trash about it. and we get together every fall and play golf, the coaches, which is kind of unique. Because the rest of the year we're competing like crazy and we want to kill each other. And then for 1 4-hour stretch, we kind of get together. Now, we compete on the golf course, but we have a lot of fun. And Reggie's beat me the last couple of years in golf. And I keep telling him, Reggie, you can have that on your bad hand. I'll take the games and I'll take the bid.
Coach, I'm sure you can feel it. This city and this region gets so behind their own, and we're all going to be glued to True TV. That's DirecTV Channel 246, everybody, if you're wondering. Dayton, Ohio, you guys are on the way out there. Let those kids know we're all proud of them already. Everything else now is icing on the cake. Congratulations to you.
Thank you. Break out that Aggie gear, and hopefully we'll get a chance to talk again this week.
Yes, sir. Yeah. Have a safe flight. That is former Sacramento King and current coach of UC Davis. By the way, I didn't know this. So Jim Les transferred from Cleveland State to Bradley, went back when he was in school. Had his career. Well, we knew that.
Yeah.
And then he was the head coach of Bradley for a few years, left Bradley to come coach UC Davis. It's kind of interesting.
Nice. I did not know that.
I mean, that's at best a lateral move.
Wait, so when did that happen?
So he was at Bradley
6 years ago,
from 2002 to 2011. And I'm not sure. I would imagine some of that was as an assistant. I could be wrong.
Interesting.
So eight years at Bradley.
Well, there was let's see if I've got this right here. I want to say Bradley, there was a guy that from Wheatland by the name of Lawrence Wright that was once the section player of the year that ended up going to Bradley. And I always wondered, like, what the connection was, like, how you would end up from Wheatland.
That makes sense.
Okay, whatever.
There you go.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Look at Nate making all these connections in his head that we would have no idea about.
A couple more.
Because I wonder a lot about players from Wheatland.
Well, you know.
Yeah. You know.
Who doesn't?
No, I don't, Nate. That's why I'm in awe.
Come on, Katie. You know, there's only so many people that make it out of the northern section of the CIF to actual Division I basketball. Uh-huh.
Wheatland also home to the big outdoor arena. That's another thing Wheatland's known for.
The big outdoor arena.
I don't know what it officially is anymore.
Sleep Train Amphitheater now, I believe. I feel like I saw that when they were doing a promo the other day.
Okay, because it changes like every.
Well, I was looking. Yeah, it's Sleep Train Amphitheater. Because I was looking up something on MapQuest, and I entered Sleep Train, right? Mm-hmm. And it immediately popped up, like, the arena and the amphitheater. And I was like, oh, okay. So yeah, that's what it is now.
Those maps, though, they're not in date. Those maps oftentimes will say one thing and do the other. Hey, by the way, if you left, because Rhode Island's one of the teams playing out here at the Golden One Center, if you left right now and you drove 10 hours a day from Rhode Island, you would arrive approximately 1 hour before tip-off.
Yeah. Someone's got to be doing that.
Yeah. Hey, if you're in Rhode Island listening right now, you're going to want to leave immediately. Let's get to this Ty Lawson thing real quick before we break.
Okay.
Michael McCann, our good friend. Oh, hold on. John's in Yuba City, home of the Honkers. He's got a Wheatland update. Hey, John.
Yeah, guess who, David? Hello. Good talking to you. How are you?
Hey, buddy.
Hey there.
Good to see you guys. Hey. Both those guys that played for Bradley, they were in the final eight for Jim Less at Bradley, if you recall. And Lawrence Wright was an absolute star. He ended up playing in Europe and for the Harlem Globetrotters. And then there was another young man, I can't remember his name. If you look it up, if you Google Bradley's that team, he ended up, he's actually LeBron James's back. He's his stunt man when LeBron does commercials and stuff.
Oh, that's crazy.
He played the D League with L.A., but Yuba College lost the state championship game with those two guys. Yuba Junior College, one of the top JCs in the state for men's basketball. Doug Cornelius is the connection there with Jimmy Less. He sent him a lot of players, Coach Corn, at Yuba College. So,
nice.
Some pretty good basketball history there. And Festus Azili, of course, gray-shirted at Yuba College 1 year. And so a lot of basketball history.
Interesting.
Right there, north of Wheatland.
Wait, hold on a second. Is this Cassidy?
Come on, Dave.
Okay, I got you now. Hold on. It just says John in Yuba City, and then it's morning. You still got a little sleepy in your voice. It took me a second there.
John Cassidy. A little too much gin and tonic last week.
John Cassidy, not only one of the nicest guys in the world, not only a KHDKer for a long life. In fact, John, when I first started at this station, one of my jobs was to bring John and his friends donuts every morning. Donuts and coffee. From LeBou. Yeah, back when it was you, Coach T, Scott Marsh on the Net Show, correct?
And Harold Pressley.
And Harold. Oh,
wow, that's crazy.
God, how could I forget HP? Thank you, buddy. Hey,
thanks, John.
We're going up. We're doing some golf this summer, right? Same thing.
Whenever you're ready, in August 5th, the event. Don't miss it this year. The concert's going to be awesome.
Yeah. I'll be up there for sure. We did John put on it was one of my favorite things I've ever done. John put on a roast of Grant Napier.
Oh,
I remember
gosh.
That.
Dude, it
Didn't
was...
We, weren't we at the golf tournament, like, right before or something like that?
Yes, yes! Okay. Okay, you remember that. Uh-huh. No, yes, we went up there. It's a beautiful golf course up there. And then it was a roast of Grant.
Oh,
and
I
was
that kinda, would have been fantastic.
Oh, it was... Oh,
fantastic.
Oh, it was great. And I didn't know what to expect. I'd never actually done a roast before. You see him on TV, and I'm like, well, it's not going to be like that. And then...
It was worse.
God, I want to see...
I heard Jerry Reynolds killed it, is what I remember.
He's hilarious.
The first one, the guy went before me was, I think, Henry Turner. And I thought there was just going to be, like, friendly roast. Like, hey, Grant, the red hair, jeez.
Right.
Henry Turner goes up there. He's like, this is all I got. I'm paraphrasing it. He's like, this is all I got to say. F Grant Napier. But he didn't say, yeah. just went in on him. And I'm like, oh, it's going to be that kind of roast. And then
did you throw your note cards out?
Let's just say I added a few to the note cards. Mm-hmm. So, and Jerry Reynolds, I wish there's a tape of it. Somebody was filming. There is a tape somewhere of Jerry Reynolds roasting Grant. And let's just say there are a lot of people out there that would watch that tape. And then after the tape was over, they'd have to reel their jaw up off the floor. Because if you don't know, old Coach Jerry, Sacramento's grandpa, he can lay it down.
Oh, my gosh. Jerry off air is the best thing ever. So in a roast?
Mm-hmm. Dude.
I don't know. Jerry on air the other day was pretty freaking fantastic.
Jerry is fantastic. We'll take a break. We'll do the Ty Lawson story next. Tell you why Michael McCann says Ty Lawson's career could be over. Is that a fact?
Could be over.
We'll tell you about that in 5 minutes right here on The Drive, and we'll preview tonight's game and why it's a big game.
The big one!
It really is a big game. I'm bearing serious, yeah. And I'll tell you why as Katie
Dave, just I must punches do. The microphone. It's 7:56, time for RC Country Hobbies. More than toys for big boys, it's for everyone in the family. 6011 Folsom Boulevard, Sacramento, and...
Yeah, good job. From the 916, any idea how Coach T is doing? Yeah, as a matter of fact, I can. You can put some pennies in his cup somewhere on a street corner in Colorado.
Stop.
We'll take a break. We're back shortly on The Drive. Sports 1140 KHTK.